Hey, Jewel.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Good, good.
I don't, these phones just drop and you have no control, so I'm sorry the call dropped.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, but I just find that interesting that you said you saw some freedom in looking at the pictures and seeing my comments online. I wasn't quite sure what you meant by you saw some freedom. What were you sensing?
Well, what I was sensing and looking at the pictures as I scrolled through them one at a time, not knowing if they were in order or not, which really didn't matter, the freedom that I saw was the freedom to be expressive. I came from a background where you didn't express as much as you felt. And to see the freedom of people hugging and loving and comforting, and I could just tell. From the spirit of the pictures, that there was liberation in the room because people were free to speak and free to express. And for me, that was so heartwarming for me, and it's still liberating, even though the messages I could not hear, but I could see by the pictures. And when they say pictures are worth a thousand words, they are, because I could just see something in those pictures that I never experienced in a homegoing service before. And for me, that was liberating because my goal in life is to stay authentic for the rest of my life. And I saw so
Oh,
much,
you know.
I saw so much authenticity in people just being expressive. I mean, just with the pictures and the way they stood, the faces, the being able to shed the tears, being able to comfort one another and hug and cry. And it looked like you could take as much time as you needed to do that. So it that to me was empowering for me.
Well, now that you mention it, Chris, there was a lot of freedom in that service. Matter of fact, it was 4 hours. We had over
Oh,
five.
wow.
Yeah, we
Yeah.
had over 500 people in attendance, and there was a lot of the Spirit of the Lord set you free. And from the very beginning, our bishop set a tone where there was so much authentic praise, emotions. There was deliverance. I don't know if you saw the group of young men that were kneeling down. Those are young men that grew up with my son, and they got delivered and saved. And then the choir was awesome. And then, of course, we did not have a casket. There's no way in the world I could sit there and look at my son in a casket. So we felt free not to do that, only to have pictures of him. And then towards the end, you saw some pictures where I was standing up front with my bishop and a young lady in a white dress. And my bishop married them before my son passed. And he said to me, "Mom, I want to get her a ring." A couple of months before he got sick, and he never, of course, he never got a chance to buy the ring. So I gave her a ring at the ceremony, at the memorial service. And then my bishop turned around and asked my other son, "What was on your heart? What are you feeling?" And then he turned to his young lady he was dating, and asked her to marry him. So it was quite an unusual and unique experience. There was a lot of love. There was a lot of celebration. A lot of hugging, a lot of crying, a lot of testimonies, a lot of singing. So now that you say that, I do realize that it was not the typical homegoing. It wasn't mournful. It was really a celebration. That's what I wanted, because he was quite a young man, and I got to hear a lot of stories from his peers of how he impacted their lives, things I never knew about my son. And as mothers, we want to know about our children. We want to know that we brought them.
Everything.
We want to know that we brought them up, correctly. And I
Yeah.
heard so many times that he showed so much respect and he was a leader. So that was really a celebration for me.
Well,
And
it's funny, Jill, because I didn't know all that transpired. I only saw pictures. Now, so I mean, I saw the young men kneeling. I saw the ring that the young lady had on, who is now your daughter-in-law. I saw that, but I didn't know what any of that meant. But I knew there was something celebratory about it. I just did not know, I just did not know what that. I just didn't know what it meant. I just didn't know. But I knew it was something of a great expression. And so for you to say that all that transpired, that was just amazing. Even for you to tell me that's amazing.
It really was. And the reason I was calling you is because I saw the beautiful picture that you posted on Facebook of you and I embracing each other, and I just love you so much, and I thank God that he connected us as sisters, because whenever I'm with you, there is always such a joy and a transparency and a vulnerability that we always have when we're together. And, you know, when I looked at that picture, I said, oh, I hope I'll get that smile back again. I hope I'll get that joy back again, because that was actually, when I think about it now, Chris, that was the weekend before my son passed.
Yes, it was. It was.
Exactly.
I thought about that.
Week.
It was 7 days.
It was 7 days.
The day you
I
met.
Was in Indianapolis with you and Cynthia Newman.
It was
Newman.
7 days. Yeah, and I remember thinking when you left and you were going home, I remember thinking that, you know, I pray that I empowered you some kind of way, that it was, we laughed so hard that one night over silly stuff and over nothing. You know, I just thought, what? Yeah, and I think of that so often, and I still laugh because I don't even know why we were laughing. We were just laughing, and we got so tickled. We had to lay down and bend over and all of that. And I thought about that day when your son made his transition, and you sent the text message, and you said JJ is now in heaven, and that was so, it felt so warm, and so even though it was painful, it just felt. I knew you were okay spiritually, but I knew as a mother, I could only imagine what you were feeling. But I also knew that you still had joy. And I knew that you had joy because when you were with me, I never saw anybody with so much joy in the midst of a transition or a situation or a shift, let me say that, because many times in shifting, most shifts are undocumented. That means we've never been there before.
Uncharted territory.
And I look as a bridge to get from one place to the other, but we've never been across that bridge before. We don't know if that bridge is going to be shaky. We don't know if that bridge is going to be hold us. We don't know, but we're walking across this bridge. There's a shift in there. And I thought about you on that last day that we were together, and I thought about it, and I said, I was so empowered to say that I've never seen a person walk it out. What you speak, you were walking it. What you teach, you were walking it. And that was empowering for me because I have seen many who say it but can't walk it. And I saw that walk with your talk, and that was totally empowering for me because I knew what you were going back to when you left, but I could not tell. I could not tell when I was with you. So
just to hear you say that is just amazing to me because I tell people so often, we can't see ourselves. We're inside the picture frame, but other people, like I know when I look at you, Chris, you can't see what I see in you. I see such an awesome woman of God. You're so empowering. You're so encouraging. You're so strong. You're so funny. You're so loving. You're so giving. You're such an awesome speaker, an awesome life coach, an awesome friend, and you're so resilient. And because I know your story and I know how resilient you are, you just amaze me. And this is not just fluff that I'm saying, but it's so true. And so when you give it to me, it just feels like, wow, it feels uncomfortable. And at the same time, it's very affirming to know that someone can see that what you have been teaching, that it's real, you know.
Yeah.
It was affirming for me to say, wow, my faith is real because, God, you really are showing up in this darkness. Everything I've been telling myself and everyone else, it's real. You know, I thought about how people come home from the war and they have post-traumatic stress and they're so traumatized that they never function. And I said, Lord, you're giving me post-traumatic strength. I mean,
I like that.
It was traumatizing to sit there and watch my son just go to sleep and go to the Lord. It was very traumatic. It was traumatic going to the hospital every day. From morning till night, every day, and watching him slowly deteriorate. That was traumatic. Mm-hmm. It was traumatic to watch my husband in pain and his brother just cry like a baby mm-hmm. over his brother. Mm-hmm. It was traumatic to see how everybody responded to this. And yet God gave me a strength, and I've said it many times, a peace that surpasses all understanding, but I was just saying it. But now I know what that peace is that surpasses. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how I got it. I don't understand how I'm getting through it. I don't understand, you know, why my son had to go at 38 years old. I don't understand why we get a diagnosis and 6 weeks later he's gone. I don't understand that I'll never see him again. I don't understand that I'll never hear his voice again. I don't understand that he'll never be able to do all the things he said he wanted to do. But I still have not wavered in my faith and trust in the Lord. Yes, I'm broken. Yes, sometimes I can hardly breathe. Sometimes I feel like somebody's sitting on my chest. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I hyperventilate. Sometimes I laugh. Sometimes I cry. Sometimes I just sit and I can't move. But at the end of the day, I still trust God, and to be able to have this post-traumatic strength, to be able to still get up and function, and because if you had told me, Chris, a year ago that this was going to happen, I would have mm-hmm. probably been in a straitjacket, like no way this is going to happen. Yeah. But I believe that the things that come to us, you know, our burdens, our pain, are tailor-made. It's mm-hmm. God knew that I could handle it. And what you've gone through in your life, God knew that you could handle it, even though it's tough going through that storm. But you've turned mm-hmm. your pain into a purpose, and you're blessing women, and you're helping women because yeah. you've been in that painful, dark place. And yeah. This isn't the first time I've been there, because when my mother passed with cancer, I was in this dark place, and that was over 20 years ago. I never thought I'd be there again, you know, mm-hmm. letting your child go. You think you're going to go first. So
mm-hmm.
lose yeah. your child. But, you know, I remember you saying that you feel, you know what it's like to lose yourself. And I thought that was mm-hmm. powerful.
Yeah, because
how did you get through losing yourself?
Yeah, and the thing that I came to in that, losing myself, was I woke up one day after, you know, married, had twin boys, and, you know, had a great job, and all that. And I woke up one day, and I didn't really recognize me at all. I did not know who I was. I did not know who I had become. What had happened to me was I allowed every situation and every circumstance to be my identity. And I took on every identity. My son was born. One of my twins was born with one hand. He had what they call amniotic band syndrome, where the hand is amputated in the womb, and it doesn't form.
Develop.
And so in that, I took on that, saying, "What did I do? I made that my identity. What did I do? I must have done something." And I never spoke it out loud. I never said anything to anybody about it. But I believe that it was something that either my passions or something that I did, being pregnant or whatever, and I took that on. And that was probably one of the beginning stages of losing myself, starting to take on, teaching myself to take on others' problems and identifying myself with those problems, because I felt like I should be the one that has to be the strong one and to take care of everything and everybody. But yet I did not realize who was going to take care of me. And I didn't realize that I was going to be the one that had to take care of me in the end. But I'm steady pouring out. I'm pouring out. I lost myself. Didn't know I had self-esteem problems. Never had self-esteem problems in my life. Always a confident person. Always an encourager. Always a happy person. I got to the place I could not smile. Nothing was funny. Nothing. There was no laughter. And then after the laughter subsided, then there were no more tears. I could not even cry. There was no emotion. Everything in my system shut down. Therefore, I'm just a dead woman walking, basically, because there was nothing in me. And I lost myself. But the scariest part of it all was I didn't know how to get it back. I saw it so many times that this was the way it was supposed to be. This is who I am now. When I ended up divorcing, I didn't become a better person. I became a statistic in my mind, and therefore I became a victim, and I ended up with a victim's mentality.
Yes.
And so that is how I was operating and I was faking it because I could smile. I taught myself how to smile, how to say I'm wonderful and everything is great, and be totally insane in my mind at the same time. Because I was afraid and fearful to express the pain, the hurt, because the people in my circle, the people that surrounded me, they were also in pain and hurting, and they couldn't tell me anything to do to relieve that pain. And so hurt people hurt people. And
that's
so
right.
If I expressed my hurt, then they came back and hurt me for being hurt. And so there was a vicious cycle for many, many years. And it started to affect my body. I began to develop tumors, and they would grow very rapidly, and I'd have to have them removed, and they'd grow very rapidly, and I'd have to have them removed. And finally, the doctor said to me, what is stressing you out? Because your body is not going to take this much longer. I can't keep going in there removing mass and tumors, and there's something, you're internalizing stuff. Because they couldn't find anything else wrong with me. There was nothing else. I was healthy as a horse, as they say. Couldn't find anything wrong with me. I decided one day that I was going to ask God in the most sincere way that I knew to change me. And he told me, I'm already doing that if you let me. I didn't understand it then. You came to our church, Light of the World Christian Church, Bishop Benjamin was the pastor then. And I never heard a motivational speaker, inspirational speaker. Prior to coming to the church, I heard you at another event in Indianapolis. And when you came to the church, you did something about the 12 faces of Eve or something about changing
faces. Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the one, I was one of the people that held up one of the signs.
Oh, you're kidding me. I
know
when I used to do that.
Yes.
And I would have them hold up the sign of the different faces.
Yes.
Oh,
and you had the sign that I held up, I think it was depression, I believe. It was something.
It was probably sad because everyone
sad.
Began with an S.
Okay, so it was starting sad. And I could identify totally with it because that's where I was at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Every word you spoke, Every word, I was hanging on it for dear life.
Mm-hmm.
Every word. I had never heard anyone speak the words that you had spoken on that day. Not in the best advice that I had been given. And it was too blessed to be stressed. And you identified with marriages and depressions and all of those things that I was feeling that no one in church had ever spoken about. And so I bought the book that day, and I went home, and I dug in the book, and I read it. And in that, the light of hope came on the inside of me.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because I had counted myself out. I had counted myself out. Now, keep in mind, I had developed. I was in actually going to therapy. I think that was after I had been going to therapy. But I had developed homicidal tendencies. And when I say homicidal, I'm talking about homicidal tendencies. That means kill. Instinct.
Where some women become suicidal, or some become suicidal, you became homicidal.
I became homicidal because the pain, and I tell women, the pain is so intense. When it's intensified and it's not dealt with, it will come out some kind of way. And so it came out in a sweet woman, sweet lady. No one could ever see it coming, kill you, drop you where you stand, if I had to, because that's how angry and hurt and bitter I was. And not only when I say wanting to hurt people, wanting them to feel my pain more than anything. I didn't want to hurt them for the sake of being hurt, but I wanted, you don't understand, you need to feel my pain. And so I would do things like if you said something to me that I didn't like, I'd come back with something to undercut you with my tongue, because that was the only weapon that I really had at that time.
Critical that you said that, because a lot of people don't realize that their words do become weapons, and they hurt, and they cut deep. Some people have a black belt in tongue fu. They can hurt you so bad with words. And look at who you are now. It's just such a transformation.
And who you are now. And what I really want to move forward and say about this is the fact that when I engaged in your book and engaged in the principles that you teach, never ever hearing them before in my life, hanging on them for dear life, and I start to journal and I start to read and read every book that you had and to pull myself up by somebody else's bootstraps, because I was so low I had to reach up to touch a snake's belly. I needed somebody to reach down to pull me up, and that's what your encouragement, your inspiration. And at the same time, everybody needs to know that you didn't even know I was there. Not like that, because I was just one of the ones watching. I asked God, Lord, I need this lady in my life. One day she's going to be my friend. And I just said that to God one day, just out of the clear blue sky. And that's been 1990-something. I can't remember, way back when. And the way we came together was God. He put it together, and here we are. But just knowing that the joy and the freedom and authenticity that you display in what we're seeing you walk through now, it's liberating even still for me, because it would be so easy for someone to be selfish with their pain and use it as a weapon because they're hurting. But you choose to empower us through your hurt. And that is the thing that's just, I'm just so excited, because I never have seen that before. Because when you hurt, you get angry, you get upset, you get mad, and you lash out. But what I see is you saying, I'm crying. Yes, because that's what we were designed to do. There's a story that I tell people. It was about a little boy that was jumping over his little mud puddles going home. And mom said, you know, don't jump over the big ones. They're too big to jump. Oh, he jumped anyway and fell in. And he cried, and she spanked him. And he said, Mom, why did you spank me? I was a mistake. I fell in. And she said, I didn't spank you because you fell in. I spanked you because you wallowed in it. And so what I see in you is I'm not going to wallow in the big mud puddle that I had to just jump over because I fell in. I'm gonna get up, and I'm going to keep moving. And in that, you are taking a nation of women with you in teaching us through your pain how to deal with it and how to overcome. And that's the thing that I never knew in my pain, is how to overcome and to deal with it. And when I watch you on Facebook and I watch the pictures and I look at the program that you designed for JJ, and I look at just the love that I could see in those pictures. And like you said, non-traditional homegoing. That's freedom.
And, you know, I did that in honor to him, for him, because he was very non-traditional and he was just an incredible son. And I knew that it had to be authentic for him. I knew I couldn't be anything less. And so for you to give me that feedback, Chris, you don't know how much you're blessing my soul, because it hasn't even been a month. And yet God has given me post-traumatic strength, and he's given me a mirror named Chris Meadows, who is helping me to see how God is getting the glory through this pain, because that is the very core of who I am, is to empower and to encourage others. And if the sacrifice at the altar is my pain, that others would be liberated out of darkness and depression and feeling defeated, then I just simply say, yes, Lord, because that's all I want to do is to encourage and to empower. And so to get your feedback and to see how God has connected the dots through our friendship and to understand now why when you say that when we're together and we laugh so hard, to know that there was a time when you couldn't laugh, to know that there was a time when you didn't want to be around other women, because I know in your job that you had in your life before becoming a speaker, you worked with nothing but men.
Yes.
So for you to be in constant fellowship with women through your Harvest Girls, and every time my sister and I come to Indianapolis, you just love on us, and you take us where we want to eat, and you drive us around and see the trees with Reverend Tony, and we always have just a hilarious time. You know, laughter is so healing, and I just thank God for my post-traumatic strength that in the midst of it all, I'm still standing. And I'm so grateful that you did speak at one of my earlier Resilient Women conferences, and who would have known that now I'm a resilient woman, that the story that I have now, resiliency, can help bless other women, because I coach so many women, counsel so many women that are stuck in that puddle that you talked about. They can't get out of wallowing. They can't stop weeping. They can't stop worrying. And if there's anything that we can do to encourage them through our testimony, then God is certainly getting the glory, because it's certainly out of my strength. It's natural that is stirring me to get up, keep moving, keep inspiring, keep believing, keep trusting, hold on to the sweet memories, and know that there are so many other people suffering. I mean, you know, you can't compare sin. Sin is sin, no matter, and you can't compare suffering. Suffering is suffering.
Right. Right, right.
But, you know, sometimes we want to say, oh, well, this person is suffering less or this person is suffering more, but our suffering is tailor-made, our pain is tailor-made. And I thank God for the connections. I thank God for your resiliency, for the gifting he has placed in you. And I can't wait for us to share the stage again. We've got to revive.
Absolutely,
Once again, and you met my precious goddaughter Toy. It was her father.
Yes.
The pictures. He is the one that captured the essence of the memorial service through this photograph. So I have an incredible, incredible team behind me. My Women on the Grow Ministry Dream Team. All of them showed up. All of them served. And when we discover our purpose by serving, you know, God is glorified. And you serve so well there in Indianapolis, and I know God is going to do great things with you and for you and through you, and I thank you for giving me permission to record this message, this conversation. This was very healing for me. I woke up this morning asking, am I going to do today? I don't know. So I go to Facebook, and I pick up my phone, and there you are, and I picked up the phone and called you, and you gave me permission to record our conversation. And I love you so much, and I thank you so much, and I can't wait for us to get together and laugh again.
Yes, I can't either, and I love you too.
Yeah.
You know, I do from the bottom of my heart. And I just want to say on behalf of all the, and I'm going to say millions of women that you are going to touch moving forward in this season, we are so grateful that you said yes to God to the next level of your empowerment, because this is a new level.
Yes.
And this is a level that's going to help even do a greater work more than what you've already done, because you said yes to God to the next level. And I'm so eternally grateful that you stay in the light, as you have told us so many times. I now say that to you, my sister friend, just stay in the light. And I know you will. You have, and you continue to. And so
yes,
many times you say that to me, I just need to hear that. Stay in the light. That is so encouraging.
Stay in the light.
But
yes,
we are so grateful that you said yes to God to continue to go to the next level, and the millions of women that will be empowered by this next move of God in your life is going to be awesome, because you have accepted what God has given you. And I'm just grateful. And I love you, and I love your sister Joy, and I just love your spirit and your calming voice. And it just has meant so much to me to have your friendship. I know it's of God, because I wasn't a very trusting woman at all with other women, but it was something about you that God showed me, and he said, you know, this is the lady, that you need to trust. So I'm just grateful, and I thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you, honey. Give my love to your sons and to your Harvest Girls ministry, and I look forward to us talking again real soon.
All right. Thank you.
Stay in the light. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.